Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish with you, hour number 2. And it's time to get to our next guest. Before we do that, we got a little Way Back Wednesday for the first time here on the show.
What we gonna do right here is go back.
Way Back Wednesday.
All right, welcome back. It's Way Back Wednesday here every Wednesday at 1 o'clock Eastern. We go back in time and really forward in time with our next guest because I'm very fortunate at times to be sitting next to Jeff Nelson in the press box. Of course, a multiple World Series champion and one of the great relievers. Really, when you go back both in fantasy and reality, I mean, you talk about the things that Jeff accomplished, not just with the Seattle Mariners, but also the New York Yankees. He pitched all the way from 1992 to 2006 with a career ERA of 3.41 and played in so many World Series, and 5 of them to be exact. And I want to bring Jeff on to talk about not just his past, but also the series that he's watching right now with the Marlins and the Brewers. Nelly, thank you so much for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mish.
I really appreciate it. Well, Nelly, you know, before we go forward, let's kind of go back because this is Way Back Wednesday. And yeah, I know the game has changed so much, and you have an eye for the bullpen. You have an eye for relievers. And simply when you pitched, there were no sort of handcuffs on pitchers, and you threw 80 innings, 60 innings, 70 innings, 74 innings, 78 innings. And I'm wondering from your perspective, because we pay so much attention to who is getting saves, that do you think that we're just entering a new era of like 2-3 years from now, the closer is gone and it's just simply put all matchups moving forward? How do you see that playing out?
I hope not. You know, I hope you look around, you know, 9th inning guy. I think the dominant 9th inning guy is starting to go. You know, it used to be a couple. I'm trying to figure out, okay, who is that dominant 9th inning guy? I mean, you have Hader here in Milwaukee. I mean, he's pretty dominant, but I think I'd rather have him as a 7th, 8th inning guy. I mean, Craig Kimbrell probably will sign this week, and I thought that he was probably one of the most dominant 9th inning guys. You can't find him around a bunch. When Mariano Rivera was the 9th inning guy, there used to be quite a few. Like, okay, once you got to that 9th inning, then it was over. I mean, with the Kenley Jansen out in L.A., I mean, he's starting to feel, I think, some effects of throwing quite a bit. I thought in the World Series when sent him to those 2 and 3 innings, he was just not that type of guy. Usually 9th inning guys aren't that pitcher that can give you to usually wear out very quickly. But it is different how they use the bullpen. You know, I don't know if it's a good way. You know, you look at hurricane 210 and 115. Pablo Lopez for the Marlins. He beat the Brewers. He went 6 innings, had 92 pitches. He was a young guy, but you know what? It's 16-0. I mean, you can't go out there. You're cruising. It wasn't like you were, tired. You're laboring through innings. I mean, you probably could have gone out there for a seventh and not even feel any kind of effects and try to save the bullpen. It is different. I don't know if it's good. Sometimes I don't like how the bullpen is used. I don't like how the starters have the 100 pitches. All of a sudden they're looking up at the scoreboard saying, okay, I'm going to dial it down now because I'm reaching that 90-100 pitch mark. So it's I don't know if it's good for the game or if it's bad for the game.
Nelly, by the way, you're breaking up a little bit. You may want to get – I know you're probably in a hotel room. Maybe want to get near a window or something like that.
Yeah, but I am. I am in it. Okay.
We're talking to Jeff Nelson. Jeff Nelson, an all-star in 2001 with the Seattle Mariners and the multiple World Series champions, of course, with the New York Yankees. And Nelly, in the game that you played when you played it, I mean, you played probably in maybe the most dynastic era that we've seen in baseball over the last 20, 30 years with those Yankees of 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000. And I'm just kind of wondering if you could take us back in time a little bit, what it must have been like to pitch on those teams that not only did you have great teams, but the organization run by George Steinbrenner was always willing to just spend as much money as possible to get it done. We're seeing a completely different day now, Nelly, where free agents have to wait until February to sign. When George Steinbrenner was running the Yankees, that would never happen. The free agency would open, and at midnight, this guy would be spending hundreds of millions of dollars for whatever he did. So what was it like playing on those teams?
Right. You know, now with the draft compensation, and you know, once you start giving a falling offer, maybe that'll change. Once they, hopefully the next click of agreement, they'll get rid of that. And that way, maybe free agents won't last as long, like Keuchel and Kimbrel have to say. George Steinbrenner wasn't worried about he wanted a free agent. If he wanted a guy, he was going to go out and get him. You know, and a lot of the times you have to accept the Yankees, and he said, okay, I want to go in and I want to acquire that guy. For one, he probably could help us. And another, I'm tired of seeing him pitch well or hit well against us. That was one of the things when Tino and I got traded over. I always did well against the Yankees. I loved pitching in Yankee Stadium. And when they made that trade, you know, I was a little surprised. But, hey, I was going to a first-class organization. And once I got there, you realized how first class it was. And you're right. You know, Mr. Steinbrenner did everything he could to try to put a winner on the field. And if it wasn't working out, he didn't hesitate as far as making a change. The expectation level as a Yankee was through the roof, especially at old Yankee Stadium. Because of Mr. Steinbrenner had so much influence on the media, and the media I thought was a lot more, I guess, not harsh, but a little – not as forgiving as they are now, Stadium, and why Mr. Steinbrenner is no longer around. But the pressures, it was great. You know, I love pitching in pressure situations. I've always wanted to be in a tight game, and I wanted to pitch all the time. And I think that spoke for the whole entire team during that era, that everybody wanted to be in a situation that they could come through in, whether it was bases loaded, hey, you got or Tim Raines, or, you know, you had Andy Pettit on the mat. It was just a fun team to come to the park and know that, you know, once you cross the lines, you felt like, hey, you were going to win every single game. And in 98, we won 125 games, so we almost did win every single game.
Yeah, and 98 was arguably one of the best teams of all time. You also played on, Nelly, the 2001 Seattle Mariners, and they won 116 games. I mean, you were very fortunate to play on some unbelievable teams. Shifting from the Yankees to the Mariners, you had a chance to play not just with Ichiro, a future Hall of Famer, but also had to play with Edgar Martinez and had a chance to see some of the great players in the game at that time, too. Would you put up the 2001 Mariners up against some of those Yankee teams? Because you won the most games that you probably ever did with that team, but that was a disappointing ending, of course, to that season.
It was, you know, and that's the thing. We didn't finish it off. You know, we had to, in order to become the best, I think you had to finish it off World Series to the Yankees, LCS, and it was very disappointing because I was on the other side, you know, the year before, and I was kind of hoping that for and the first time the Mariners go to a World Series to win that ring, and they just came up short. You know, whether we had the best record or not, it was just the job wasn't finished. In 98, we finished the job. You know, we won 114 during the regular season, and we went on to win the World Series to make it 125. But the Mariners teams, you know, you had great players. You know, I played with Ken Griffey Jr. when we were in the minor leagues together. He went to the big leagues a little bit before I did, and then we were teammates in the major leagues. Best player I've ever played with, by far. And then Ichiro comes along in 2001, and, you know, in spring training, there was a lot of hype, and I don't know if he lived up to that hype, and all of a sudden the season kicked in, and everybody realized, oh, this is going to be something special. He fit in so great. He didn't – he wanted language. We wanted to learn his language, and he was a great teammate. Edgar Martinez finally getting into the Hall of Fame. I faced him, gave up a couple homers against him, and I was also a team – probably the best candidate hitters I've ever seen.
Jeff Nelson is with us, and Nelly, of course, now broadcasts for the YES Network and from Fox Sports Florida. And so, Nelly, let's move on to that here for a minute, from the past to the present, where you had an opportunity to see something that you've never seen last night, I'm guessing, in your career. 11 runs the Marlins scored in the fifth inning, and you've been covering and watching them all season long. And now all of a sudden, they seem to be turning a corner a little bit here. They're playing like a you know, especially offensively, a team like a house on fire, scoring all of these runs. What do you think has been the key to the turnaround here for them on offense?
Well, it's definitely a lot more fun to talk about than maybe about a month ago.
we're
playing like this. You're like, oh, no, you know, when's the season going to end? But, you know, it's interesting because you bring up the 114 and the 116, and yes, the teams were different. And, you know, as far as the mentality, you have to learn how to expect to win. You know, you just don't show up. This is a very young team. You have a few veterans on team that maybe have been in some playoff teams in World Series, but you have to learn how to expect to win. You know, you have to go through the rigors of, hey, you know what? When we get to the field, you're not just happy to be in the big leagues. You want to once you step between the lines, is, hey, we want to beat this other team, and we want to show that we're capable of them. And I think in the beginning of the year, when they were, what, 20-500, the Marlins were, I think just going through the motions, I think they were going, they didn't know how to expect to win. They didn't know, okay, once we went behind, what do we do to try to beat the other team? And I think the pressures got to them. I just think it took a little bit for everything to click. And now with these last, what, five series, they've won, what, four out of five, they've you can see the attitude change. You can see that, hey, you know what? We can compete teams. You know, yeah, you beat the Mets. You beat the Tigers, who are not a great team. You win two out of three from the Giants, who are not a great team. And the Padres, you know, I didn't see where they were all that special either when I was watching them. But the Brewers is a good challenge for them. They are a very good hitting team. Obviously, they play really well at home. First in the National League at home, or they also can steal some bases. Could see that they really need pitching if they're going to try to compete in the Central. But the Marlins held their own. I mean, obviously scoring 16 runs and 11 in that fifth inning. But you can see the attitude that they, you know what, we're starting to learn how to win. We're starting to learn how to expect to win. You know what, we got to have some pride in ourselves. Yes, it's okay to be here in 2000. It's still an audition when you're starting to build towards the future. But I think you can see an attitude change. They've always had good pitching. I think they pitched well this year. And now they're starting to put that together.
We're joined by Jeff Nelson, former big league pitcher, of course, broadcaster for Fox Sports Florida. And, Nelly, if you don't mind, I know that you've been spending some time this year also on the YES Network. And what's that experience been like for you, you know, being back in the place where you're calling games for Pinstripes, too? I just hope that's not keeping you too busy, is it?
I want to... the game, but it's exciting. I've been John Filippelli, the network, and gave me a shot to do TV. And finally, I said, okay, I've had enough. I'm going to be a training. And I was like, I told you I could do this thing. And I did well, and I'm glad. And I got to do two games in Arizona, and I'll do a few more this year before next season, because he had no idea that he was going to use me. And now that he's going to use me, there'll be a lot more he can fit in the schedule next year, and I can be a part of it. But it's just okay whenever he can fit me in. But it's exciting. You know, I played there for 6 years, and we went to the World Series five of those 6 years. a lot of the same clubhouse crew are still there. And once you were a player, I was good with the meeting because I always stood my, I said, okay, if it's bad, I'm going to sit here and take my medicine. Knew who wrote well and if you wanted to let you know how bad you did that night. But now it's different. They're all your friends. They all want to come up to you and talk to you. So that's always exciting. It was back. I mean, obviously an organization that I played and had a lot of success with. And, it was exciting. And I'm glad I'm getting the opportunity.
Well, Nelly, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Have a good broadcast tonight. I'll see you back in South Florida this weekend.
All right. Thanks, Mitch.
Jeff Nelson joining us here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on our Way Back Wednesday segment. If you want to dial us up here on the show, you can hit us up very easily, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. That's the best way to get us. Each Wednesday, what we'll do is we'll go back in time, and we will talk to some of the different people who have participated in both reality and fantasy, and we'll kind of go through that a little bit. Well, our next segment coming up is our You Make the Call segment, where you had an opportunity to vote on what you wanted to hear me basically talk about coming up at 1:22 Eastern. So, Chris,
what's up,
dare
buddy?
I ask you? Okay. Dare I ask you how the people have voted, how the people have chosen here at this point?
I'm just looking for it right here. I got to scroll back down here on our tweet deck. Ba-ba-bum.
Tonight's baseball slate looks like it's the winner.
It looks like it is going to be the winner. And why am I having such an issue here?
81%.
Hey, that's average. Here we go. 80% want tonight's baseball slate.
All right, so good. So that's what we'll do coming up in the next segment. We'll go through each game and give you the totals and the Vegas lines, and we'll walk through that. Favorite Netflix show did not get many votes, only 13% of the vote. Chris's napping habits only got 6% of the vote. So we've saved another segment here on the show with that, and so that's what we will end up doing. Also coming up a little bit later, in case you missed it yesterday on the show, we had Yankees relief pitcher Tommy Kahnle on, and we'll play back a little bit of that interview as well. Don't forget, as soon as the show is over, you can always access our programs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the FantasySportsNetwork.com site, also AudioBoom.com, and of course on the app that if you're listening now, you already have it. But if you don't have it and you're just listening on the site, make sure you download that because we play all of our shows back on demand for you. In addition to that, make sure that you follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish throughout the fantasy sports season as we'll go through team by team, player by player, one by one, all the way through really up until the fall. And then we'll get our fantasy football feet wet when the fall comes as well. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. My name is Craig Mish, and coming up next, it's time for our You Make the Call segment, which turns out to be the Major League Baseball slate for tonight, wouldn't you know? Also, coming up at 2 o'clock Eastern, it's full-time fantasy. Don't go away.
The window.
Last season they finished 4-12. Jets are going over. I am buying the Jets all day, every day. The division stinks. The Bills, they're better
than
last
year.
Yeah, that's my team, but I'm hard on my team. I'm a tough critic. I'm not like these other Bills fans. They're just way, way too positive about the
optimistic.
Bills.
Yeah,
they're not realistic. All right. The Jets, though, going over.
They do put people through tape.
I like Adam Gase, man.
Watch live on the FNTSY YouTube stream.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631.
Did we just become best friends?
Yup!
The best friends forever.
Baltimore is dead last in MLB in average and OPS. Their average as a team is under 200. The OPS is under 600. This is a team that cannot get on base right now. They are struggling. They just drafted number one overall in the MLB draft. And there's a good shot they draft number one overall again in next year's draft. Baltimore, 28th in the MLB in home runs away from Camden Yards. But fear not, Frank. Orioles are too cold to get into it.
Watch live on the FNTSY YouTube stream and download the podcast on your popular podcast providers. Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish here with you on the show. Thanks again to Jeff Nelson for coming on the program. Tomorrow on the show, Brad Ziegler will be on. And he and I will knock out about 40 minutes of the show, including our three up, three down segment, and hopefully you guys can join us for that program. If you're listening on demand, then you can listen to our show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the FNTSY Sports Radio app. Also, you can call up the show 844-843-6879. I did make the mistake earlier of posting the wrong number on Twitter. And it is true, when you call the number, I tried during the break, when you call the number, it asks for your social security number. So a bad job by me. Ignore the number that I posted on Twitter. Bad job by me. One of many mistakes that I'll end up probably making on this show. So just bear with me on this. We will get this through together. 2 o'clock Eastern, full-time fantasy will be along here on the program. Okay, so you guys voted for today's slate, so let's kind of dive into that here a little bit. First of all, in the top of the second inning, we have one game underway, White Sox and Washington Nationals, and there's no score in that game. It's Aníbal Sanchez and Dylan Covey on the mound in that one. 3:40 Eastern, Dodgers and Diamondbacks, Kenta Maeda and John Duplantier. Duplantier, I saw in the Futures game a couple of years ago, nice young starter for Arizona and has already picked up a win. Maeda is a minus 160 favorite, and the total is 9.5 in that game. 3:40 Eastern, Jake Arrieta, 5 up, 5 down, and his ERA is 3.96. He will throw up against Cal Quantrill, who's 1-2 with a 5.14 earned run average. The Padres are 31-30 this season. Philadelphia is 34-27. As we mentioned, Andrew McCutchen out for the season. Jay Bruce is now the focal point in a little bit here of the offense, at least secondary focal point, outside of JT Realmuto and Gene Segura and Bryce Harper. Now they have Jay Bruce added to that mix. 7:05 Eastern, Pirates will take on the Braves. Joe Musgrove against Kevin Gausman. Two pitchers that I think most people always want to kind of dial in on sleepers, and neither of them have really produced that this season. Gausman's ERA in particular, 5.56, really brutal. Musgrove, I think there's still some hope for him. The Pirates are a 500 team, basically. For some reason, they're playing better on the road than they are at home, and therefore Atlanta is minus 130 tonight, and the total is 9.5. Yankees and Blue Jays. The Blue Jays picked up a win last night against the Bombers, but the Yankees are minus 195 tonight. We get to see James Paxton back on the mound, 3-2 with a 2.81 earned run average. Trent Thornton throws for Toronto. He's 1-4 with a 4.53. Twins tonight have Martin Perez on the bump against Carlos Carrasco, who is not having the season that most people thought that he would have. Carrasco's ERA is 4.98. He's 4-6 on the year. Perez 7-2 with a 3.71. Cleveland, by the way, 30 up and 30 down on the year. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the season? I gave you two teams with records, 40-19, 30-30. It's the Twins that are 40-19 on the season. The Twins are just 30-30. Cleveland is a small home favorite tonight, minus 125, and the total is 8.5. 7:10 Eastern, Giants and Mets. Tyler Beede and Jason Vargas. not the sexiest pitching matchup in the world, but needless to say, Beattie's ERA is 7.82. Vargas's ERA is 4.46. The Mets are on the money line, minus 135, and the total is 8.5. Rays and Tigers, Charlie Morton still undefeated, 6-0 with a 2.54 earned run average. He faces rookie Spencer Turnbull, who's been very good for them this year, 3-4 with a 2.84 earned run average. And when you consider having Boyd and having Turnbull and having potentially Casey Mize in this rotation next year, there are some decent things for the Tigers to be excited about, but not this year. They're a huge underdog today at home. Minus 190 Tampa Bay is, and the total is 9 in this one. John Means and Mike Miner's a start tonight. Orioles and Rangers, 22 runs scored in that game last night. And Texas has the best record in all of baseball at home. They're 20-10 on the season. The Orioles, after a decent April, have fallen apart. They're 19-41 on the year. Means is someone that I own in a fantasy league, believe it or not, this year. He's been pretty viable. 5-4 with a 2.80. Mike Miner, an excellent year for him so far. 5-4 with a 2.74. The only question is if Texas falls out of it, would Miner be a trade candidate in July? Rockies and Cubs. This is Herman and Varquez. The Cubs are a slight favorite at home, minus 115. The total is 7. Darvish, 2-3 with a 5.02 earned run average. And Marquez, 6-2 with a 3.48 earned run average. We'll see how this one goes tonight. The Rockies have not played well at all on the road this year, 13-16, while the Cubs have the same record as Texas does at home, 20-10. So they're tied for the best record at home in the big leagues. Red Sox and Royals tonight. We're kind of done doing the whole show me game for Chris Sale, because at this point you're just praying for a win if you can. The Red Sox starter ace, 1-7 with a 4.35 run average. Of course, he's had some bad luck, but you know, clearly getting two wins from him at any point would be a nice thing to have. Jacob Junis starts for Kansas City. He's 4-5 with a 5.35, but Boston has just not been a good betting team all year. Although they are minus 240 on the money line tonight, and the total is 8.5 in that game. Reds and Cardinals tonight. Speaking of the slate, Anthony DeSclafani, 2-3 with a 4.97. Dakota Hudson for St. Louis, 4-3 with a 3.94. The Cardinals are minus 140 on the money line. The total is 9.5. Cam Bedrosian will open up another game tonight for the Angels against Daniel Menken. Bedrosian, 2-3 with a 2.96. He throws an inning or two and then is done. Menken, 1-1 with a 3.05 earned run average. The Angels are minus 108, and the total is 9 in this game tonight. The Angels are under 500, and the A's are exactly 500. And then the final game on the slate tonight, Astros and Mariners, Brad Peacock and Mike Leake. Leake, 4-6 with a 4.71 earned run average. Peacock has been A nice addition back to their rotation this year for Houston. And the Houston Astros are minus 160, and the total is 9 in that game. And that indeed, folks, is tonight's Major League Baseball slate. And for those of you who are playing in DFS, make sure you head on over to DailyRoto.com. Get involved in the daily action if you're interested in the day slate or the night slate. Drew Dinkmeyer and his team, Ricky Sanders, and all the great people they have working over there do a phenomenal job. I would encourage you to get signed up with them, sign up for a subscription, and help you make some money. Yesterday, speaking of guests on the show, and we're going to do that every day here on the program, yesterday on the show, we had a chance to catch up with Yankees reliever Tommy Kahnle, who is not only an adept baseball player, but also a great fantasy football player, and we had a chance to speak to him yesterday about not just baseball, but also his fantasy football acumen. Give me like a start date for you when you know that you have to either pop online or in the old days, it would get a magazine, maybe, you know, still do that. I'm not sure. Right. But when does that start?
For me, to be honest, I actually did a mock draft a few weeks ago. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. So, yeah.
The guys thought I was crazy.
No. All right. So let's get into that a little bit. So what pick did you have? Do you remember in the mock what pick you had?
I think it was like 8 or 9.
Okay. And who did you end up taking with your first pick?
Who did I go with? I want to say it was DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, you can't go wrong with him. 100 catches.
No, and definitely can't go wrong.
A good. You know, there was some news. Let me ask you this. There was some news that came out today from I believe it was may have been Ian Rappaport or NFL.com about how Todd Gurley is forcing himself to lose some weight because there is some concern that there's something wrong with that knee. Would you be comfortable taking Todd Gurley in a first round or even maybe at this point second round scenario, or are you scared off?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think I'm scared off this year. I had him last year, and his touches down the end of the run there really kind of messed up my playoff push in one of my leagues. So it's tough, especially with that kind of injury, you know, him being a running back. It's, for me, I think I'm going to be shying away from him this year.
Okay. Well, any running back tips that you could give early on? I mean, I think the obvious ones are known, but you have kids who were just drafted in the NFL draft, like Montgomery and Snell and some other running backs. Are you like a two running back quick guy, or would you go like wide receiver running back early on? How do you kind of go through that?
Yeah, I think it's more just the value that's there. I like to try to take the top value that's around. But if there are some kids that just got drafted, I'm pretty high on. I mean, obviously, being an Eagles fan, I really like the Sanders kid, but I don't know how much burn he's going to get with Jordan Howard there as the lead bull. But I do like how you brought up Montgomery. I've been high on him since he was at Iowa State.
That was the voice of Yankees relief pitcher Tommy Kahnle. And you know, it's an interesting dynamic as it pertains. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I can't, you know, kind of send it home enough that so many people play fantasy sports that you would be surprised in. And it's like the two things that kind of surprised me the most as far as people that play is in Major League Baseball. I mean, I don't know if I'd put it at 50%, but I feel like close to 50% of the guys are playing some sort of season-long fantasy football league. I feel like 50% feels like a decent number. Now, again, it could vary from team to team, and I know on a team like the St. Louis Cardinals, as an example, their number is going to be a lot higher than that. And the other thing that I've noticed that through the years is a lot of the professional wrestlers, and yes, professional wrestlers, meaning the guys that you see on TV, WWE and Extreme Wrestling and all of those, those guys play a lot of fantasy baseball. And some of them are like huge fans, like really supremely into it. And one of those guys, for example, Tommy Dreamer, I used to host with, a very big fantasy guy. And I don't know, maybe it's because they kind of live and play a fantasy to a degree that they get into it as supremely as they do. I can't really figure out the dynamic for that, but in all of sports, and I think just in all of life, that's something that has brought us together, is the idea that we still can compete and do things, although not at the highest level of playing in sports. We all kind of grow up and expect to participate in sports. Gambling doesn't do that. Gambling is just kind of, as big as it is, it's usually a one-game proposition for most people. Like, it's a three-hour entertainment, you bet, and you're done. But for people who play in season-long fantasy sports, there's some serious commitment that goes to that. And I understand that not everybody can do that. And hosting and doing shows as long as I have that focuses on that, it tells you the kind of commitment that I have to have for this. Because not every league is the same. So many people are playing in these different kind of leagues that they have to, you know, kind of adjust to. And it shows you that there is just the level of commitment is beyond anything else in sports when you're talking about playing games and playing a sport like fantasy baseball. Every day, having to check the lineups, having to move guys in and out. And you'd be surprised. You would be surprised the kind of athletes and the people that are participating in that, that's for sure. Also, as promised here on the show, I want to dive into a little bit of the waiver wire. And for those of you who are looking at players to pick up potentially, let's talk about some players who are hurt. We'll start here. We'll pick it up when we come back after the break. I want to start off with the San Diego Padres. Franchy Cordero homered again in another rehab assignment game last night. Last year, I went into the season thinking that Franchy Cordero was like a 20 home run, 20 steal guy. And he got hurt, of course. Didn't play the whole year, of course. And I think that him getting hurt, of course, wasn't really that huge of a shock because he's been an injury-prone player over the last couple of years. I don't know necessarily where the Padres are going to be able to play him, but when he comes off the injured list, San Diego has a chance to, at the very least, make him, I think, the fourth outfielder. And after the start that he got off to last year, 2018, I would think that he'll have an opportunity to play some. Now, how many days a week is that? I'm not sure. But he's probably sitting out there on the waiver wire in your league. My guess is you should claim him. Throw him on your bench. Throw him on your injured list spot. And then you can decide what the team does. And then you can make your decision based on what you want to do with him at that point. Another player who I invested in at the beginning of the season in Tout Wars, the NL league that I play in, Corey Dickerson. According to several reports, including the Post-Gazette, Dickerson is getting closer to a return for the Pirates. They'll have to make a decision by adding him back to the 25-man roster because Reynolds has been great for them. Starling Marte is there, and so is Gregory Polanco. There literally is nowhere to play Corey Dickerson. But if you remember, the guy hit like 17 home runs in the first half of the season last year. When he comes back and he is healthy, I think there's a chance that he's going to find his way to some playing time again. Make sure that if Corey Dickerson is unowned in your league, you make sure that you take that leap and make sure that you pick him up. Aledmys Diaz of the Houston Astros. Boy, did I have a huge whiff 2 years ago on Aledmys Diaz. Oof. But from St. Louis to Toronto and now to Houston, he's done a really good job as a fill-in player. Remember, the Astros have a ton of injuries. So if he's able to come back, let's say, in 10 days or so, it may not be worth the stash, and maybe worth the stash in a 15-team league. Grab him, put him on the IL, maybe he comes back and gets an opportunity to play. Remember, he's kind of filling the old Marwin Gonzalez role that Houston has. And Yulies Gurriel has not had a great season. Diaz could find his way into some more playing time as the season rolls on. And then finally, one more that I wanted to get to is Denelson Lamet, again, a pitcher on the San Diego Padres. Lamet missed basically all of last season, and he's coming off Tommy John. He made a rehab start last night. He could be available in a deeper league of yours. He would fit right back into that San Diego rotation. And again, as we talked about earlier in the show, with the way that Chris Paddock has gone over his last couple starts and the fact that they have a innings limit on him, there's a chance that Lamet could just simply slide into Paddock's rotation spot later on in the year if they decide to shut him down. I know that's not what anybody wants to hear, but that's the truth. Can't see Paddock throwing 180 innings in 2019. We'll take a quick timeout. We've got our exit velocity segment. We'll send it over to full-time fantasy coming up at the top of the hour. Dr. Roto, Adam Ronis are standing by. Don't go away.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sports book. Go to FanDuel.com/grid where you'll receive a free bet of up to $500. That's a free bet of up to $500 when you open a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, and in-game wagering on college and pro sports, and you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com/grid. Open your new account and claim your free wager of up to $500 today.
The morning after.
You know what? Somebody offered me front row tickets, man, right behind home plate at Yankee Stadium. But
yeah,
I want to sit in the bleachers, man. I don't like that net.
Yeah. The netting is brutal.
Yeah, I don't like that netting. I'm not going to sit behind.
I'm with you. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm not sitting there. I prefer to go sit in the cheap seats because I don't like the net in front of me.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Searching for an outdoor oasis but don't have time to catch a flight? Join us in the heart of Midtown at Versa, packed with good vibes, great views, and service unmatched. Fully stocked with 5 bars throughout the venue. Aside from our stellar dining menu, Tuesday through Friday, our culinary team has curated a delectable rotation of food activations to be featured on our patio from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Join us for nonstop fun on one of New York City's largest patios as rooftop season is finally upon us. Located at 215 West 35th Street, New York, New York. Official partners of the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers.
Are you single? Everyone single is looking for the best date possible. Well, I found one website that can find you the best date, and it's called thebestdate100.com. Just go there and log in for your free trial and see if you can find your new and maybe last best date. Remember, you can find the best date of your life at thebestdate100.com. That's thebestdate100.com. One more time, thebestdate100.com.
The following ad contains shocking material. Listener discretion is advised. Is someone in your family playing a dangerous game of Russian roulette? Over 43,000 people die a year from drug overdose. 120 people a day. 5 people every hour. 1 person every 12 minutes. 88,000 people die every year from alcohol abuse. Over 240 people a day, 10 an hour, 1 person every 6 minutes. Somebody you know may be next. Learn how to help someone you love get away from the drugs, alcohol, and bad influences. With the FMLA, people can take a leave of absence from their job and still keep it. Call now and learn how we can help you.
866-484-9621. 866-484-9621. That's 866-484-9621.
Do you want 2 risk-free wagers up to $1,000? If so, go to pointsbet.com/grid. Open yourself up a PointsBet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID, and you'll get 2 risk-free bets of up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept, where customers, they're rewarded by how much they win their bet. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter the promo code GRID and get your 2 risk-free bets of up to $1,000 today.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish back with you. 1:43 on the East Coast. And I'm going to take you up until 2 o'clock Eastern and then turn it over to my good friends Dr. Roto and Adam Ronis as they get you ready for fantasy baseball. Fantasy football season, I know, is coming pretty fast. And there are some of you who need to start getting ready on June 5th for your fantasy football season. Let's see. So that's June 5th. July, August, September. I think that's, over 3 months away. So for those of you who are playing in redraft leagues, I tend to wait as we get a little bit closer. I don't even do any drafts until August. But for those of you who are playing in best ball leagues, I suppose that's kind of the way to go. But look, every fantasy player has a right to enjoy and play whatever they want. I've never tried to lead the discussion of don't do this or don't do that. It's just I like to kind of play the hits as to what's going on right now. The good news is for me tonight, I'll be locked into more Major League Baseball, and I'll do that for the next couple of days. And then on Friday night, I'll be back at the ballpark covering the Miami Marlins Atlanta Braves game. And we'll see if we can compile some stuff for Chris and I and then bring that back for next week's show. I can't believe that we're actually through almost halfway through the first week of this new show. It's kind of just gone by fast. Like all of a sudden, here we are, and we're already 3 days into this. And as I mentioned, tomorrow, Brad Ziegler will be on the show, and he and I will talk for 45 minutes or an hour just about everything that's going on in the world of baseball and fantasy. And I've told you before that he's a huge fantasy football fan as well. So we will have that discussion. There's one other element to this that I wanted to bring up just as a secondary possibility for those of you who are interested in the long-form kind of interviews. Now, There is another separate podcast that I do that I just wanted to give a like brief shout out to. And that, of course, is my Swings and Mishes podcast, which you can follow me on Twitter for that or go to at Swings and Mishes. Make sure you do that, because if you're interested in just hearing about baseball, the Marlins, I think we have a really good time doing that podcast. We usually just kind of go through the league, go through the Marlins a little bit. If you're interested, give it a ring, give it a like, give it a subscribe. And if not, then you know I'll cover the entire major leagues here on this show. By the way, if you're serious about fantasy football, it's never too early to start preparing for the 2019 season. And Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY, the NFL 365 fantasy football package at rotoexperts.com. Before we get to our exit velocity, which is coming up here in a little bit, just wanted to run through some quick numbers here before the end of the show that I kind of found interesting. You know, things that I see that I don't know that everyone has paid attention to. Has anybody been paying attention to Hunter Renfroe of the San Diego Padres? Renfroe, like many other players, has 17 home runs this season. He doesn't have a lot of runs driven, and the Padres aren't really getting on base. But his OBP is horrible, 301. 250 batting average, 3 stolen bases, 17 home runs for Hunter Renfroe. If I didn't mention that to you, would you have known that this is the season that he's having? Like, I think that most people know that Derek Dietrich has 17 home runs because every time he gets up to the plate, he hits one. He's got 35 hits on the season and 17 hits. Like, that's the kind of ratio that you've never seen in the history of the game. And plus, his has been on TV a lot and on social media, so I get that. I don't know that anybody would have thought that. In addition, Renfroe's outfield mate, Franmil Reyes, who has gotten some love. Franmil Reyes has 19 home runs on the season. 19 home runs, 31 runs driven in also. Like, the Padres just don't know how to get on base. And so Reyes only has 31 runs driven in. Renfroe only has 33 runs driven in. Maybe getting Fernando Tatis Jr. back is the answer to that. But for those of you who follow me, you've probably followed closely. Sometimes I kind of like to take a look at the stats and say, did you know that this was even happening this year? And that definitely falls within that category for sure. Earlier in the program, if you're listening to the entire two-hour show on demand, then you knew that I mentioned Renato Nunez. He has 15 home runs. So by now that you kind of got that one and you understand that that is the deal. Jorge Soler has 15 home runs, 239 batting average, 74 strikeouts in 226 at-bats for Soler. The funny thing is, with so many home runs being hit this year, it's almost impossible to value double-digit home runs with an OBP below 300. It's pretty weak. Like, it's just the days of looking at a player at the All-Star break and saying, wow, this guy had 20 home runs. When we go to the All-Star break this year, the amount of players that will be on pace for 40 home runs is probably going to be somewhere in the 40 range. There's a chance that between 30 and 40 players will be on pace for 40 home runs this year. It's just insane. I mean, I can't believe the amount of people, the amount of players that are going to have 35 home runs. That's just crazy. Let me get to our last piece of information, which is all about rookies, in a little segment that we call, which is called Exit Velocity.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! Exit Velocity.
Nice velocity.
All All right, welcome back. It's our Exit Velocity segment here on the show. And this is kind of like we like to end every day with Exit Velocity. So what does it mean? These are things that we kind of like hot take topical here. So I wanted to spend a few minutes just talking about rookies and rookies in general in fantasy and fantasy baseball. Here's kind of how I view this. I would say that I'm tired of people just throwing wet blankets on rookies in fantasy. And what does that mean by that? I don't know what Austin Riley's going to do at the end of the year. I have no idea. I don't know what his numbers are going to look like. I don't know what Peter Alonso's numbers are going to look like at the end of the season. I know he has 20 home runs right now. We're trying to help you win fantasy leagues, but at the same time, isn't there something to be said for being excited about a player that you took a shot on at the beginning of the season and he's coming through for you? Like, have we seen the level of frustration from any player being sent back to the minors like we saw with Keston Hiura yesterday on Milwaukee? And that's a fun part of doing what we do here, is we try to make projections and we try to get it right. And even though the sample size is probably small on a lot of these players, if you invested any kind of draft pick or fab budget back in April, and that guy gets called up in May or June and he ends up producing for you, I mean, who am I to say that you shouldn't be enjoying the moment? And who am I to say that you shouldn't be jumping up and down and excited about that? In fact, I would say on social media, of the fantasy questions that I've been asked, I would say at least half of them pertain to rookies and call-ups in Major League Baseball. I'll give you an example on Twitter at Craig Mish, somebody about 10 minutes ago, and I get this question every single day. And I guess it should be an honor because of how dialed in I am with the Miami Marlins. Yeah, that's true. But every day I'm being asked about Zach Gallen with the Marlins, right? Like, when's he going to come up? Isn't he past it? Like, he struck out 11 guys last night. What's the deal? And I think part of that is because of my knowledge of the franchise here. But part of it is that we're always so enamored with rookies. And who am I to say that Brandon Lau hasn't worked out for you this year? 11 home runs, 3 steals, 330 on base. Peter Alonso, 20 home runs, 267, 34 on base. Fernando Tatis Jr. was playing well. Vlad Jr. has 6 home runs in just 32 games. What does that amount to the rest of the season? About 20 home runs. Not bad. Fine. Victor Robles has 9 steals. He's on pace for probably 25 or 30. Yeah, maybe he's a little bit worse than what you thought, but he's got 9 home runs. Victor Robles is going to be a 2020 guy at the end of the year. Ryan Reynolds of Pittsburgh, 40% on base, 5 home runs, 17 runs driven in. I've said this a lot through the years, that rookies are coming up and they are way more prepared than they ever have been. And so as fantasy players, we're more prepared than we ever have been on these guys. And I give you permission to get excited about a player that you took. Nick Senzel, 4 home runs. Yeah, that ain't great. 5 steals. 264 with a 320 on base. All I'm saying is this, is that you take the time to prepare. You take the time to do a draft, and in the back end of your draft, you end up getting one of these guys. I think it's okay to jump up and down a little bit and celebrate when they end up doing well. And that's kind of the way that I see it with some of these guys. The only issue that I've had with rookies in the past, and the one thing that I just can't figure out, is the pitchers in fantasy that come out there. The pitchers, like Chris Paddock was just like setting the world on fire at the beginning of the year, right? Like, we're all, you know, super excited about him. And now look at the last couple of starts. All of a sudden the worry is there. On the season, he's 2.97. There isn't a pitcher, I think, outside of him and Michael Soroka that you want to do anything except for, I guess, stream. The best fantasy starting rookies this season are Paddock, Soroka, and I would probably throw Turnbull in the mix from Detroit. 66 innings, 64 strikeouts. But beyond that, even though Miami has a bunch of rookies who have pitched well, Yeah, it's always kind of tough sledding as it pertains to these kids because you never know when they're going to be on innings limits. And you never know what you see in the first half just doesn't repeat itself in the second half. And by the way, this is no indictment on the player. It's just as rookies, you just truly don't know. So the moral of my story here is always this as it pertains to young players. You take them at the end, you stash them, and you keep them available for when you need them. And if it works out, great. And if not, you really didn't invest too much here. And that's kind of the way that I like to do it, and hopefully it pays off. I right now, I own Ke'Bryan Hayes of Pittsburgh. He has not gotten off to a phenomenal start in the minors, so that could end up being a busted pick. Mitch Keller is another one who I invested in at the beginning of the season. Austin Riley, who we talked about earlier. Kevin Biggio I have in one league. And they all don't work out. But the notion that you can't get excited about it, I don't know. For me, I think that you can. If you wait all season long for guys to come up off the waiver wire to become fantasy MVPs for your team, it ain't going to happen. The best thing to do is just take these guys late in the draft and then stash them. And that is our exit velocity segment for the day. Real hot stuff there. Real hot take stuff. That's like kind of my big debate shows or my exit velocity. I thought it would be a good idea, but then when you realize that in radio and television, you only can be who you can be, like that's about the hottest take that I get unless somebody like crosses me in some way, and then I'll start going off. But for the most part, I don't do that. Okay, so as we wrap up the show here, Chris Bavona, our producer, this is. Chris, I apologize that we haven't really gone to you all that much here in this show.
Like, I'm all about it.
I feel like you're
it.
A firm part of my show here, but we've been a little busy today with doing a lot of the different segments and things that we've done, so my apologies to you for that. So no real hello today, and how's everything going?
Everything's going okay today, a little bit smoother than the last couple of days, but very happy about that. And don't worry about it, man. The busier you get, the less you hear from me, and I think that's better for the listeners.
Yeah, all right, so here's what we'll do. Got to give you a little bit of a preview of tomorrow's show. Coming up tomorrow here on Fantasy Sports Today, there's going to be a number of things that we're going to get to. Brad Ziegler is going to join us in the first hour of the show, and we'll talk a lot about fantasy baseball, of course. And we will knock everything else out along we go. And on Friday, we'll give you a preview of the weekend in fantasy. That should be fun as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing tonight game 3 of the NBA Finals. As we kind of get to this point, I like to dive in more. To be honest with you, I'm just so disenfranchised with watching the Golden State Warriors win championships. I'm hoping that Toronto has an opportunity tonight. That'll do it for the show. Coming up next, full-time fantasy, Adam Ronis, Dr. Roto. Don't go anywhere. They're coming up next year. And don't forget, we'll post some of our audio on Twitter, on social media, and I'll be right back here tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.